Good morning once again, young people. Still love all the young people. I'm still praying for some boys to enter the building at some point. We keep getting more and more girls all the time, which is great. I think it's great. Nothing wrong with girls. Just need to balance it out a little bit. John chapter 13 to start with this morning. How many of y'all think or know that you at one point in your life received the greatest gift ever for Christmas? Anybody? I mean, I did. I probably told y'all this one time or another, but I'm going to tell you again because there's new folks around. And if I did tell you, it was a long time ago. But there's a reason I need to tell you, is because I was a grade school kid. And at Christmas time, like everybody else, we couldn't wait to get up early and run to where the tree is to see what was there. Typical. That's what all children grow up doing, mostly. And I went down there, and I don't remember what was on my list that year, but here's one of the greatest things I ever received as a kid for Christmas was I think it was a Tonka fire truck that used real water, and it would shoot real water out to put the fire out. All right, it was amazing. And at the same time, me and my brother together got a set of Lincoln Logs, so we could build a Lincoln Log house. Now, I don't know why my parents did not think this through. This is a true story, y'all. It's a true story. I don't understand what they were thinking, because if it weren't for my quick response, because fire truck only holds so much water, and I built the log cabin was a little bit too big. I ran out of water, and it wouldn't put the fire out. Okay, so I had to think quickly, which I did. I was amazed at my own self. I ran into the bathroom, and I grabbed a little cup that Mom leaves in there for us to rinse our mouth out with, and filled it up with water, ran back into the bedroom, poured that water on the house, fires out. I mean, no harm, no foul, right? Whose fault is it, y'all? What parent in their right mind give a kid a fire truck that shoots water and Lincoln Logs and not expect that to happen? My only challenge was, how do I get the burn stain off of the hardwood floor in my bedroom without my parents knowing? Because it was just kind of sitting there like black where the fire was. So I kept trying to drop dirty clothes and down there to hide it, and it just eventually I had to fess up. But I still think it was my parents' fault. I still think it was. It was the greatest gift ever. It really was. It just didn't shoot it up enough water. So I didn't get any more stuff like that after that. That was one of the greatest gifts ever. So, I told you that story because sometimes we think about Christmas gifts and we think about giving each other gifts and we think about receiving gifts, and some things are just totally amazing and you would have never thought that somebody would think of giving you something and it's really useful or it's really sentimental or whatever the case is, we put some value on it. And which is also the reason why it's so hard to shop for people that you love, because you want to make sure you get a gift that's going to mean something to them, that has some kind of value. Maybe not monetary value, but some kind of something that says, you know what, I care about you, and I want you to have a Merry Christmas, right? That's kind of what the general idea of giving gifts at Christmas is. And today, this is just a reminder, one of them reminder sermons for y'all. All right, most of y'all are believers in here. I think almost all of y'all, if not all of y'all, this is just a reminder as we leave Thanksgiving behind and we move into the Christmas, the official Christmas time, which usually starts in July now, right? Because they want your money. We got to remember. We got to get it in our minds. We got to get it in our hearts. What is this about? What is it all about? All right. So John 13, verse 34 to 35. Let's just read that really quickly. All right. John is teaching the disciples, and he's relaying some teachings from Jesus, and he says this in verse 34, that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." All right? So by now, if you're paying attention, if you're still with me, you've already guessed today's message is going to be about love. All right, sorry, shout it out. It's about love, y'all. It's the greatest gift of all, isn't it? No one can give you any greater gift than to love you. And I'm not talking about just loving each other in man's ways or the world's way, right? Because, you know, nothing says love like burning down mama's dad's house, right? What I'm talking about is the love that you've received from our Father, from the Lord, from Jesus on the cross. That kind of love is who we are. That's who the Christians are. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about God so loving the world that he let his only son, his only begotten son, to come into the world for the purpose of going to the cross to say, "I love you," in a way that no one else has ever said since. Y'all get where I'm going, right? So he's saying, look, what we're being learning here in this verse is a new commandment I give to you. Don't skip over that big word, commandment. I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know, you can only give what you've received. That's probably true in just about everything you can think of. If you don't have it, you can't give it. Make sense? I mean, unless you want to float a bad check or something. But you ain't really giving, are you? I'm just saying, if you haven't received the love of Christ, if you haven't received God's love in a real way, it don't matter how hard you try, you can't share that with somebody else because you don't know what it's about. But if you do, if you have received God's grace and his forgiveness and you have received the Spirit of God and you are living the Christian life and you are his, then you can't help but love folks the way that God is commanding us to love folks. Make sense? I guess all I'm saying is if we're believers and we are his and we are obedient to his command here, then we are loving one another all the time. Nowhere in these two verses, or really anywhere else, does it say love each other at Christmas time. Right? It don't say not to, it just says love each other. My point being is, especially at Christmas time, people should see the love of Christ in you. Because they're looking for it. Right? Everybody goes out of their minds to make sure they have something to give to somebody else most of the time. Because he loved us, therefore we love each other. See, Jesus died so that we could experience his love. Now we have a command to go into the world and give it away. Right? And the challenge, we've been challenged. He's like, look, I want you to have this because I love you. You don't deserve it, but I want you to have it. I want you to have it so you can go give it to as many people as you can find. I want you to try to give it away faster than I can give it to you. Right? If you think about it that way, it's just like, oh, okay, well, let me go try to do that. And you will never exhaust God. You will never outrun God. And you will never outlove God. Isn't that great? It's one thing to walk around and say Merry Christmas to the world everywhere you go. But if you love people, right, in a genuine way, if you love one another in a genuine way, that's how you say and live Merry Christmas to others. Right? When we were kids, we would get too close to each other and talk and like spit all over each other, and we always look at each other and say it, don't spray it kind of thing. God doesn't want us to just say it, right? He wants us to broadcast it all out there. He wants us to infect the world with his love. Make sense? And if we're not careful, y'all, if we're not careful, right? Because Jesus said to go into the world and make disciples. He said go into the world and love people and love God. That's who we are. That's what we do. But if we're not careful, we're going to get caught up. We're going to get caught up in the world's way of doing Christmas. You see. And next thing you know, this is December the 1st today. Right? I know that for two reasons. Because one, it says it on my phone. And two, because Jerry was politely coming up to me and saying, hey, you got the bulletin wrong again. And I was like, I sure do. I sure do got it wrong. But if we're not careful, it'll be December 25, and then it'll be December 30, and then it'll be January 1, and we just look up and be like, man, I missed so many opportunities to love somebody because I got so busy keeping up with the schedules. I got so busy keeping up with the shopping. I got so busy keeping up with the food preparations. I got so busy worrying about this or that or what's going on next week or next tomorrow. I got caught up in the world. I'm just trying to encourage you, be intentional every day to get up and say, today it's about loving people. No matter what I got on my schedule, while I'm doing that, it's about loving people. So that they might know God. So that they might experience God. You know, just because somebody's saved don't mean they don't need to see God in their life in that moment. You understand? Sometimes y'all do stuff for me that you don't even know you do. Right? Just because you're awesome and you love me. Right? I'll be going about my day and one of y'all or some of y'all will do something or say something that just changes everything because it lets me know that you care about me and it lets me know that God cares about me. And we all do that for each other. That's what it's about, y'all. That's what it's about. We have to be intentional about this. It's not just okay, amen. I'll say amen to verse 34 because it's a new command, right? And sometimes people's interpretation of loving one another is not hating one another. If I just don't hate this person, that's loving them. I mean, sometimes that's challenging, isn't it? But that's not the way Jesus loved, is it? Jesus went over, he went over and above and beyond. He went all the way. And if we're going to be like him, then I guess we're going to be prepared to go all the way. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to put this together. All right, because we're going to try to, hit the button and nothing happened. All right, give me the next slide, please. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 here. Let me just see if this helps us break it down a little bit. This is our first three verses. Says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And then finally in verse 3 says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You think about all that stuff sometimes? In the middle of us doing our good deeds and living that life where our love motivates our actions to intervene, especially in the last several months as we're trying to help folks around here. Why are we helping folks? Because we care about them. We know that God loves them, so therefore we love them. And we know that if we were as bad off as some of them folks, that we would hope that someone would come and love us. You see. But if we do all of that, and there's no, and the love of God is not there, then it's, we don't have any, there's nothing, there's no witness there. It's empty. And Paul's trying to get the Corinthians to understand this Christian life. He's trying to say, look, we're about love. That's who God is. So if that's who God is, that's who lives in us. So why wouldn't that be who comes out of us, no matter what we do? Everything that motivates us, everything we do should be motivated by that. Right? So it's hard to engage in activities that don't love people, isn't it? It's hard to do things that aren't about loving others. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's not because of us, it's because of who's in us. It's what oozes out of us. We couldn't contain it in if we tried. You understand? That's where God's like, look, I'm about to fill you up. If you just accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, right? If you confess that you're a sinner, repent, then you can be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You could receive all of this love, and it will overflow out of you into the lives of everybody around you. And you will not be able to stop it. Not if you try it. And here's the truth. If you genuinely repent, and if you're genuinely His, if you're genuinely in this great relationship with your Savior, you wouldn't want to try that, to stop that. Right? Me and my brother, we used to go to the state fair, and we'd get on these rides that spin around, and we'd try to make each other sick all the time. And then we'd try to get Mom on there and make her sick. That wasn't the wisest thing to do, but that's what we would do. But we would do that so much that we would get so overwhelmed with the fun of it that in the middle of some ride, one of them rides, in the middle of it, we're all like begging for the thing to stop. We can't take any more. We can't laugh any harder. Our guts are gust wide open because we've been laughing at each other so much. And we're just like, I can't do any more. And while we're getting on the next ride, we're doing it, but I can't take any. That's the way the love of God comes on us, y'all. And you're just like, Lord, I can't do anymore, but don't stop, but I can't do it. And we just want more of God's love, but we can't absorb it all. You see. You remember Peanuts, a pig pen, walk around with dirt all over him all the time, and he's just dirt everywhere. It's kind of a silly illustration, but that's what God's love does. It's not dirt. It's God's love just coming off of us all the time. It's like an aroma. The best way I can describe that is when my son was in high school, God, my, I don't know how we survived it. He would buy this Axe body spray stuff, and he would just take a bath in it. And he'd come walking through the house, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And it's like my nose start bleeding half the time. You can't go out like that. But God wants His love to be that way when you go out into the world, y'all. You see. That's what He wants His love to be. And here's what Paul's saying to the Corinthians: if you don't have that kind of love, then you don't have nothing. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have an eloquent way of speaking. You can have all kinds of gifts. You can give all your stuff away and make yourself look great, but you don't have anything if you don't have the love of God to give away. You see. So Paul would say it to us today. He may say it this way: if I stay up all night long shopping on Black Friday and have not love, I have nothing. He wouldn't be saying don't go shopping on Black Friday. He's just saying if you don't have the love of God, then it ain't worth nothing. If I push and shove those around me to get that one item that makes my kids cool in the eyes of the world, yet I have not love, I don't have nothing. And you know that goes on. It drives me insane to watch people do that stuff. All because the cool people say this is cool, now everybody's got to have it. And they spend all their hard-earned money to go have it so they can give it to their kids so their kids can go be cool. Well, I'll tell you what, if you teach your kids about Jesus, they'll be the coolest kids at school. If you spend every dime in your pocket and maxed out every line of credit while checking off every item on your list and still don't have love, then you've purchased nothing and you've gained nothing. Right? It's not that we can't have stuff. It's not that we can't buy stuff. It's not that we can't have the things that sometimes the world presents to us. What's the motivation, y'all? What does it take to gain it? What does it take to go and obtain that thing? And for what purpose? Are you trying to outdo your uncle so-and-so and give a bigger gift than he gave to the family? Are you trying to be the favorite, and are you trying to show off to the, what are you trying to do? Here's another way that maybe Paul might have told the Corinthians, if you volunteer at the local soup kitchen but have not love, then you don't have nothing. It's great for the folks that are eating over there, but you have no benefit in there because you don't really, you're just doing it to say you've done something good. If you work at the homeless shelters and care for the elderly but don't have love, you still don't have nothing. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees would try to show off, show how much they know God. And they would show how much they give to the offerings. They show how much they do what the law says to do, but they didn't really love anybody. Right? It was hard to tell if they even loved God. You can't love God if you don't know God, and they certainly didn't know God, did they? Not in the way that Jesus wants us to know him. If you show up at church, don't shoot the messenger. If you show up at church every Sunday and participate in all the Bible studies and functions, and you don't have love, then you don't have nothing either. I love y'all. But there's a lot of people that go to church around the world, and they don't know the love of God. They've never experienced the love of God. They don't know anything about Jesus and how much whatever that meant on the cross to you personally. All they know is if I go to church and I stand up and say I know Jesus, maybe I can go to heaven. And that's the depth of their understanding of God. Right? And I'm pretty sure that maybe most of them are pretty decent folks. But they're missing out on something. They're missing something. There's something out. There's something not there. And it's love. It's who we are. Let's look at this real quick, and then I'm going to shut it down because I love you. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Can you give me the next slide, please? Yeah, verse 9 and 10. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him in this love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, okay, everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody mean it? Okay, because it says, God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that he might live through, that we might live through him. See, loving people is actually living, y'all. The act of loving others is Christ living in us. Without that, there's no life, y'all. That's the reason why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus died. It's so that this, so in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. All right, now let me see the next slide real quick. Still not working. So look, this is the very next thing he says in verse 11 and 12, and then we'll be finished. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, look, we also ought to love one another. Who am I? Who am I to think I'm going to receive this amazing love from God? This unconditional, so powerful, indescribable love, and just think I'm going to keep it to myself. How am I going to walk into the world and look into the eyes of other people and make a decision that they're not worth loving? They're not worth loving enough to at least say God loves you, or at least pray for them, or at least do some kind of act of love toward them. This is who we are, y'all. This is who Jesus died for us to be. He's chosen those who will believe and repent as a dwelling place for his love. Did you understand? You ever figure that out? God chose you to be the dwelling place for his love. He is love, and he wants to live in you. Because before you get saved, what lives in you is wickedness. And that's death. So the big idea is God's love is him. He is love. And our command is to go into the world and love people. Go into the world and let God be God. And you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Right? I'm done with the slides. How many have ever answered this question to yourself? Because I don't want anybody to get in trouble. How many of y'all have ever run into another believer who actually griped about getting to go love people or serve somebody else? It's like, oh, we got to go do that. No, that's not going to happen to somebody who's filled up with God's love and it's overflowing. We get to love people, y'all. Y'all realize that for the last couple months, all the people that's been coming into this church building and all the people that's been all over Western North Carolina, Tennessee, all the believers that have just dropped everything to come over here and do all the work they've been doing, they know that there's people that are hurting here, and they come to help them. They come to do what they can because they love people, because God loves people. But I'm pretty confident that most of them, I haven't met them all, but most of them, came over here and is like, I get to go and help these people. I get to do this. And I can promise you this too, because I've been where they are. A lot of stuff that they have to do isn't fun. It's not fun at all. I mean, cutting trees and stacking wood, it's physically hard, but it's not the most challenging thing. Until it gets to the where you get to meet the people that you're helping and you get to see the problem in their eyes. You get to see the hurt, right? Or you're cleaning out mud out of their house, which is hard to do because with the mud goes all their belongings that they can't have because it's all contaminated. And you get to put all that in the street for them. And you're doing them a favor so they don't have to do it themselves. Because you love them. Right? And on and on. On and on. And somewhere in the middle of that, almost every time, if you're looking for it, almost every time, if you get to interact with these people, at some point you get to say to them, we're here because God loves you. Amen. And because God loves you, we love you. And you're not forgotten about. And that's true for every storm in everybody's life. Not just the obvious storms. Right? But we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, y'all. And if we go through this Christmas and don't think about how we can love folks, we missed it. We've completely missed it. I don't think it's going to happen for y'all because I know y'all. Just pray about that, y'all. When we pray for the Lord to help us have a Merry Christmas, then we're praying for the Lord to help us love people as much as we can. Help us to not miss any opportunity to love somebody in the name of Jesus. And here's what I found, and I'm done. Here's what I found. The more I try to love other people, the more people get around me and start loving me. And all of y'all are the same way. It's like when people start loving me, I'm like, no, go love somebody else. Go love somebody else. We're trying to be too humble, but the Lord has to keep filling us up, y'all. And that's how the church takes care of the church, right? There's plenty of people out here in this world helping folks. Right here where we live and all around the world. Anytime there's a problem, the church is there. Every time. Sometimes there's other folks there, but I know for a fact that every time there are storms in life, the church is always there for somebody. Because God loves. He is love. So how are we not going to love folks? Christmas, right? And it's hard, too, because it's hard to figure out how to love folks sometimes. You do the best you can. But if you don't tell them about Jesus, then are you really loving them as much as you could? Right? Always, always tell them about Jesus. Right? Tell them that Jesus died for you. Tell them that all you have to do is decide if you believe it or not. And if you do believe it, then you should just say to the Lord, just say, I don't want to be an enemy of you anymore. I want to repent. And the Bible talks about that. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what we teach because that's what the Bible teaches. And after that, just tell them, okay, now you get to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the love of God just continues to fill you up, and your life is going to be changed forever. Forever. And every time you think you've made it, right? Every time you think you've made it, the Lord changes something. You're like, okay, well, let's work on this now. And you're like, oh, I thought I was there. But he loves me all the way through it. I love you, and the Lord loves you. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you need to make a decision for the Lord today, now's the time to do it. If not, let's just sing as if we're saved. Let's sing as if the Lord loves us way more than what we deserve. And then we'll pray the Lord help us go out and love folks.